This morning we'll be reading from Romans 15. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to have hope and live in such harmony with one another, in order, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to the Gentile and rule the Gentiles. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in love. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution to the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they are pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, thank you, Connie. In the history of the church, the reading of the scripture might be longer than the sermon. I know you're hoping for that. So, but here we are. We're kind of getting to the end of Romans. We're seeing something very dynamic happening. We're seeing that the gospel, the good news, is spreading throughout the world. And the Apostle Paul is known as the Apostle of the Gentiles. There is an acronym that goes like this. It's for the word team. It says, together, everyone accomplishes more. Simply put, that means we're better together as a body of Christ. Now, in theory, we agree with that. In practice, it's a little harder, isn't it? Because sometimes we don't agree. We don't see eye to eye. Sometimes we want to do it our way rather than the other person's way. And yet, I believe that if we are to accomplish the mission of Christ, we need to work together. And yet, there's this fierce independence that we have, especially in Western culture, that we think we can do things on our own far better than a group, a body of Christ. And as we see, this is the struggle of the early church. Because the Gentiles are receiving the gospel, the Jews think that they have an inside track to God. And so there's this conflict that is existing between two groups of Christians, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And the whole chapter is talking about receiving Gentiles into the body of Christ. Now, I've had the great joy of either playing or coaching on teams that have really kind of melded together and had great unity. And I was thinking about those teams. I've also had the not such great joy of being on teams where there's total chaos and everything is just wrong. But I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about the positive things. And I thought about some of those teams. The first team I can remember coaching was in Moline, East Moline Little League. And it was a lot of fun. In fact, when we drafted our team, we intentionally drafted kids with only Bible names. So we had Jesus, we had Isaiah, we had Isaac, we had my son Nehemiah. And the amazing thing is we went 25-0. We were incredible. We were unstoppable. And then the next team I remembered was the Brown Owl Talbot middle school football team. Now, this team didn't win a game. We lost every single game, but there was such great connection with one another. We had so much fun. So you can win all your games, you can lose all your games, but you can still be unified. And then the last team that I remember was when I was in high school, and it was at Northern Grace Youth Camp. And it was during the Olympics, so we had to come up with an Olympic team name, and we were called the Wombats. And we had we dominated in every event. All 13 events, we slaughtered the other teams. It wasn't even close. And we had this obnoxious cheer. And I'm sure the other people, they can't hate us because they were Christians, but they didn't like us. Okay, let's put it that way. And we had this cheer, and it was, one wombat walking down the street, who do you suppose they should meet? Another wombat, two wombats walking down. And we just sang this nonstop, and we just annihilated every team. That was my ability at songwriting, by the way, because I wrote that. Pretty impressive, don't you think? Thank you, thank you. It ranks right up there with Jim's piano playing. So, can you put that to music on piano, you think?
I hope not.
I hope not, okay. So, the whole point of all this is that together, everyone accomplishes more. If we can work together as a team, and we need each other, don't we? We need what we offer to each other. The problem is that in America, we've created a bunch of lone rangers in the faith. And you've all heard these things that probably at one time in your life, I find God in nature. Oh, I listen to pastors on the internet. Oh, and my worship is putting the iPods on and exercising. Do you think that really is what God wants for the church? Does that really fulfill the purpose and mission of the church? You know, after all, the church is full of hypocrites. Why do I want to go there? You've heard that one, haven't you? And yet, the truth of the matter is Jesus Christ is, and I believe this with all my heart, is more alive in corporate worship than when people are on their own. And then we wonder why when someone's on their own, why they maybe feel disconnected or far from Jesus. It's because we've gotten to the point where we pick and choose what we want from Jesus. As we read in Romans here 15, 1 through 2, we read this. I pressed the wrong button? Yes, I did. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. In other words, if we consider ourselves as having something special, we should give it away, not hold on to it for ourselves. It should be our job to build one another up, to help the other person grow. It should never be about self. It should be about others. We should care to give away what God has blessed us with. And yet we have become consumers in Christianity. And we've approached Christianity, especially in Western civilization, as if God is a vending machine. Deposit $2, press 2B, and I get the music I prefer. Deposit $1.50, press 7D, and the pastor will preach a short sermon. Deposit $5, press 5G, and I can sleep in today. That's kind of how we've gotten in our world today when it comes to Christianity. And yet this passage in Romans is talking about something far greater. Coming together, having fellowship, caring for one another, holding each other accountable. Christianity, on the other hand, should never be about guilt or guilting someone into something. And I want you to understand, I'm not trying to guilt you into doing anything, but what I am talking about is inviting you to God's glorious gift of the body of Christ, where we function and serve together. You know, there's a fine line between I have to and I get to. You don't have to come to church. You get to come to church. You don't have to be a larger body of Christ. You get to be a part of the larger body of Christ. And yet, we have cheapened God's grace, and we pick and choose what is comfortable and convenient for ourselves, and then we wonder, why am I not growing in my faith? Effort on our part is not opposed to the grace that God gives. In fact, I believe true grace empowers our effort. In fact, we see throughout Scripture there is a call for us to have effort, to work at our faith. Jesus challenged his disciples by saying this, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." Christianity was never meant to be easy. It was meant to have some denial, life denial, sacrifice. You see, no effort on our part equals cheap grace. Effort on our part, accompanied with the Holy Spirit, is where we really experience life. Life in Christ. I'm going to just kind of go through these rapid fire, but these are verses about work and effort. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Philippians 2:12 through 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I'm going to share a few more, but I want you to understand this. It's not about earning your salvation. We don't get to heaven because of our works, but works follow our salvation. Works cause our relationship with Jesus Christ and one another to be profoundly life-changing. But it's never to get us to heaven. Jesus did that for us on the cross. We don't earn heaven, but our efforts matter. So going on with a few more verses, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. There's verse after verse, and here's another one. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And then I like this one because it gives us an image of three different types of effort. 2 Timothy 2 here. Share in suffering as a good soldier for Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So what happens when a soldier ignores his duty? It threatens the whole body, the whole group of men and women. What happens to a lazy farmer? He loses everything. And I'll tell you, farmers are some of the hardest working people you'll ever meet. What happens to the athlete who doesn't train? They get weak and out of shape. You see, it's not about comfort and convenience to follow Jesus. It's not about fire insurance from hell. Jesus is more than forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus is about a radical, empowered, new life that is being transformed by walking in relationship with him and one another. We truly need one another. The Gentiles and the Jews were struggling with this. The church today struggles with this. And yet we need one another. Hebrews 10:23 through 25 talks about this need. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he, God, who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The habit of some 2,000 years ago was to sleep in. The habit today is to sleep in. We're neglecting the body of Christ, what God wants to do in and through us together. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, my fingers aren't working today. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And if you read that whole chapter, it talks about all of these different gifts and talents that people have. Some people can lead worship. I can't. Some people can share the gospel. That's something I can do. Some people have tremendous amount of money that they can support ministries. And we can go on and on with the gifts, resources, talents that people have. On our own, we're weak and feeble. Together, we're strong. And we can do great things for the body of Christ. Now, I've shared this before, and you've heard it maybe. But if you have a campfire, and as the campfire grows, you can look in the bottom of the campfire and you see all of these glowing embers. And it gets kind of mesmerizing as you watch those glowing embers. They kind of flare up orange and then black. And it's a beautiful picture. You know what happens if you take one of those coals out of the fire? That coal dies really quickly. But if it stays with all the other coals, it burns red hot for a lot longer. You see, we need the body of one another to keep us on fire for Christ. Now, have you ever wondered what happens or how geese fly in a V formation? And you've maybe heard this before, but I thought, you know, it's a picture of working together. And so I went to Google and I clicked, why do geese fly in a V formation? And this is the answer I got from Everyday Mysteries. Why do geese fly in a V formation? Because it's far too hard to fly in an S formation. Just kidding. Scientists have determined that the V formation that geese use when migrating serves two important purposes. First, it conserves their energy. Each bird flies slightly above the bird in front of him, resulting in reduction of wind resistance. The birds take turn being in the front, falling behind when they get tired. In this way, the geese can fly for a long time before they must stop for rest. Now, the authors of a 2001 Nature article stated that pelicans that fly alone beat their wings more frequently and have higher heart rates than those that fly in formation. It follows that birds that fly in formation glide more often and reduce energy expenditure. The second benefit of the V formation is that it is easy to keep track of every bird in the group. Flying in formation may assist with the communication and coordination within the group. Fighter pilots often use this formation for the same reason. You see, we truly need each other. It helps us, it strengthens us, it gives us more energy and passion, and it also keeps us on track with one another and with Christ. This is a good picture of what the body of Christ can be. And as we see in the passage that we read today, it says this: May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may have, or may with one voice, glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, the early church, as I've said, struggled with this. Today's church struggles with this. The Jews and the Gentiles both believed in Jesus, the Christian Jews and Gentiles, and yet they had a struggle to get along. One was saying, you have to be circumcised. One said, you have to eat this. And they battled and they conflicted, but they took their eyes off of Jesus in the process. We could go on and on about the things that divide the church, but what about the things that bring the church together as a unified purpose for the mission of God? You know, I don't believe Jesus died on the cross and raised from the dead so that we could have 34,000 denominations in the world. And that's what we have. I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead so that there'd be 37 million Christian churches. I believe he died on the cross and rose from the dead so there could be one church with a common mission and a common purpose that we are to be unified for. And it's all for the glory of God. And yet, human beings, we struggle, don't we? The reason why we need to become one is because it gives God the most glory and it speaks to the testimony of Christ in our lives. You know, for Brenda and I, it's been our privilege to be a part of the unity of the body of Christ here in International Falls. And this is a great church, a strong and healthy church, a body of Christ that really truly cares for one another and is learning to care more for our community. The kingdom of God will continue to move forward if we keep that as our focus. We have to be careful that we don't argue over little things, small things. We have to be careful that we don't make it about us, that we become inward focused. We have to constantly be reminded that our mission field is out there. It's not here. There's a time, Sunday morning, where we come to be renewed, refreshed, and strengthened. But most of the time, our work is out there, isn't it? It's not here. This isn't the work of a Christian to come to church. This is the time to be renewed and strengthened. The work is out there. You see, God is good, isn't he? And all the time.
Yeah, good.
So let us continue to work unified and pursue the mission and purpose of Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you that you are the reason why we have any unity. That it was your death, your resurrection that unifies us for the purpose and mission of the church. Lord, we have to confess that there are times when we would rather have comfort and convenience over the hard work of following you. We understand that salvation is through the cross. It has nothing to do with us. But we also understand that your grace goes far deeper than just salvation. It goes to transformation and change of our lives so that we can radically live the gospel each and every day of our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you've called us to be yours for your purpose and for your glory. We pray in Christ's name.